The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
Figures that have been released by the Irish Medical Organisation, the IMO, today. Apparently 400 doctors have left these shores to go to Australia since the start of the year. That is 18 every week, more than two a day leaving this country. And just to put that in context for people who think, well, how much is 400 out of the overall stock? If you think about general practitioners, and look, these 400 are doctors from across the board, but just think of GPs. We've 2,500 GPs in this country, 2,500. And that's seen as a chronic shortage that's going to get worse. And we've got 400 gone in just the first 150-odd days of 2022. It gives you a sense of the problem we have. Dr. Owen Murphy is on the NCHD committee for the IMO. The NCHD committee stands for the Non-Consultant Hospital Doctors, essentially the junior doctors. Owen, you're very welcome to the show. Why are so many leaving?
Hi, Kieran. Thanks for having me on. So, yeah, I think what we're seeing with that figure is another record-breaking statistic. It's 402, up from 183 10 years ago. Why are we seeing this statistic? I suppose doctors are starting to really look at the surroundings, look at their working conditions, looking at their lifestyle and saying, look, enough is enough. Enough 80, 90 hour weeks, enough not being able to take leave, not being able to, have time for your family, not having to be moved around every 3 to 6 months for some doctors in training posts and hospitals. You really do feel like a cog in a machine that really doesn't have much care for the welfare of you as a worker, as a doctor, as a physician, or the patients you look after. So there's a multifaceted sort of answer to that question, but I'd say working conditions is the main thing. On top of that, I suppose there is the concept of unpaid overtime, which is just a thorn in the side of so many colleagues of mine, and it's affected me personally as well.
Explain that. I mean, how is it that you work overtime and are unpaid?
Well, I mean, sometimes it's a bit more labyrinthine than you claiming hours and then the management saying you're not getting paid them. It would be kind of looking over your payslips, realizing that you're actually underpaid, having to go through a process of following that up, and then it turning out that for some technical reason you might not have been paid. And in other places there is disputes over hours that, were they necessary, things like that. There's a whole bunch of reasons and it varies from site to site as to why overtime isn't paid. But a lot of the times it's like rates not being applied properly. And that's the IMO, that is our union. We are constantly dealing with members that are having issues with overtime being paid, with working well beyond what they're rostered. And then in some cases, where it's not actually legal to work over 24 hours. If you do work over 24 hours, the hospital can put its hands up in the air and say, you weren't rostered to work 24 hours. We can't legally pay you for working longer than 24 hours, even though you might have been...
Sorry, because of the Working Time Directive, you're not allowed to work for more than 24 hours, but you often do work for more than 24 hours, and because of the Working Time Directive, the hospital won't pay you.
No, that's our contract. It's not the Working Time Directive. Our contract that we won in 2013, where we actually capped our rostered shifts to 24 hours.
Yeah,
that says that we can't work for more than 24 hours. So we are getting that from members that sometimes that is an excuse given by hospitals that if you're working, they can't pay us for more than 24 hours in a row if we claim it.
Okay. So, but I assume you can't just 23 hours, 59 minutes and 59 seconds down the stethoscope and just walk out and say, well, that's what the contract says.
No, it's a difficult thing because if you're in the hospital for that period of time, you have been involved with a huge amount of clinical casework. So you have been admitting patients since the morning before. So you want to, if it's the weekend, you want to give a good, safe handover to your colleagues with management plans. So if you've been admitting patients for 24 hours, 22 hours, hopefully the team come in a bit earlier. But if you've been admitting patients for that long, then you do have to hand them over. And then when 24 hours strikes, you haven't gone through everything. So look, our teams that come on always do the best to be like, look, tell us some important things and then try and get yourself home. But a lot of times it's just not possible because they're coming in and then there's emergencies going on in the hospitals and people are spread very thin. And, we don't want to leave any of our colleagues in a tough space either.
But despite those kind of those pay issues and those overtime issues, I get the sense from speaking to you and others, though, it's more the quality of life argument and the conditions rather than the pay. And that's the attractiveness of these other jurisdictions. Is it like Australia?
Yeah, I mean, the overwhelming consensus coming back from anyone that does return or people that we keep in touch with over there is that they're, you know, they don't kind of put the individual responsibility on doctors to roster a hospital. You know, like, you don't feel guilty to stay later because they have the system set up that there's enough staff to cover and to do a very, very efficient handover. They, you know, you'll be doing your 39, 40-hour shifts. 40-hour weeks, sorry, and you know, then you have a little, you have your rostered overtime, but it, you know, there is a degree of that's kind of sacred, and you won't be expected, you won't be expected to make up for any sort of capacity issues that the hospital might have, which is probably a lot more. That's what you feel in Ireland.
And listen, before I let you go on, I mean, we always get texts in along these lines whenever we talk about it. They say, you know, that the state has kind of ponied up to a degree to train all of these doctors. They should be forced to stay here after they qualify. Well, what's your response?
Well, I don't think you should force anybody to stay in a relationship or work contract where they're, you know, regularly being, their contract's been breached. Their mental health has been affected very adversely. They're having pay withheld. I mean, the idea that people like that should be forced to stay and not given the choice to work a place that might be better for their lives is, you know, I think it really is not addressing the issue very well. We should maybe be looking at making Ireland a more attractive place, the HSC to be a more attractive employer, not less attractive employer by forcing people to stay. But look, I don't think that really is that's probably a minority opinion. I think most people understand why doctors and nurses and other healthcare workers do feel the need to emigrate and look, a lot of us do come back. But I suppose what is worrying is this figure that's released. It's the highest ever, 402 visas being issued. That's massive when you consider the, you know, how what a scarce sort of labour force doctors are. Like that is, they would be obviously very welcome, but we need to ask ourselves what are we not doing that they are emigrating en masse. And then this doesn't include doctors that we have working here, non-Irish doctors that would be working for years, and then, you know, they wouldn't have access to training, so they end up emigrating to England for training.
Yeah.
So this comprises half of all NCHDs are non-EU international doctors. So it's double pronged, you know.
Yeah.
So we're really just losing doctors from all. So even if that was applied, if we didn't let doctors leave that were trained here, there are still loads of doctors leaving that weren't trained here. We need to make the HSC a much more attractive place for doctors to work in. And look, we're balloting for strike, and we're expecting a massive positive result, and we're open for engaging with the HSC. Nobody wants to go on strike, but, you know, as things are, we have an employer that is constantly breaching.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you and I will be speaking once that strike is imminent on the horizon. Dr. Owen Murphy is on the NCHD committee for the Irish Medical Organisation. Lara in Dublin says, doctors leaving is not odd. It's the same for many professions. Ireland's simply too small, and there are better opportunities for career progression abroad. Yeah, certainly, Lara, I mean, you're right to a point. Some people emigrating isn't odd, but I think what's odd, and Owen said it out there, is that 10 years ago, and remember, we were mired in recession 10 years ago, 182 doctors would have left over the first 6 months of the year. Over the first 6 months of this year, it's up to 400. And that's in the context of loads of vacancies. So lots of opportunity for career progression. So it is problematic. But thank you for the text. 53106.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.